It's a perfect night to watch for nocturnal birds, calm winds, clear sky, and a waxing moon just above the horizon. I'm standing on the Lexington Blacktop, just east of Lake Bloomington. I'm with Angelo Caparella of the Biology Department at Illinois State University, and Given Harper, another avid bird watcher and professor at Illinois Wesleyan. We're on the prowl for owls as part of a nocturnal bird count Caparella is conducting.
Most of the regular counts that we do, such as the spring bird count and the Christmas bird count, doesn't really capture these nocturnal birds. And we know that some of these nocturnal birds are in trouble.
The owl count actually began because of another nocturnal bird. People who live out in the country stopped hearing a familiar nighttime sound, the plaintive call of the whippoorwill, heard here on an American Bird Conservancy recording.
Our older folks probably remember hearing these, and they're very hard to hear now. Their populations throughout the Midwest have been collapsing, and that was part of the impetus for establishing this monitoring network across the state of Illinois to try to track population trends, because we may eventually have to list it as an endangered species, even though it once was incredibly common and a typical sound of the summer nights.
The whippoorwill will literally say its name.
It's an onomatopoeia in that it actually says whippoorwill, although it is its own little dialect.
What caused the whippoorwills to go away? For one thing, habitat loss. Maple trees taking over forest areas that once held mostly oak and hickory trees that whippoorwills happen to like.
To be honest, we've been sterilizing the Midwest by spraying pesticides everywhere, and the collapse of their food supply, that is moths, is pretty evident. If you ever remember how moths were so common around our streetlights in the past, it's hard to find that anymore.
Concern over the whippoorwill led state wildlife officials to want to look at the owl population as well. The three main kinds of owls in McLean County are the barred owl, the great horned owl, and the screech owl. They seem to be doing better than the whippoorwill because owls eat both mammals and insects, so they have a larger meal base. But there are some warning signs.
We know that things can happen with them as well. When West Nile came here around 2000 or 2001, the great horned owls were heavily affected and really had a decline in population. But we don't know by how much and how well they've recovered because we don't really have data from that time.
Now we're here with Dr. Given Harper of Illinois Wesleyan, another great bird watcher. Dr. Harper, what exactly are we going to do tonight?
Well, we have 10 stops that we make. We stop for 6 minutes and listen without playing any recordings and record all species that we hear. Then we'll play a screech owl call and listen for 2 minutes. And then we'll also play a barn owl call and listen for 2 minutes. But we only play the barn owl calls if we're not close to someone's house.
Why is that?
They have a really frightening, a hissing scream. And we just have decided we'll only do that when we're some distance away from homes.
I see what Harper means just as soon as he plays the barn owl call. The sound effect for many a horror film or Halloween tape. Do you play the barn owl screech to see if you get a response back?
Yes, because they will perceive the call as a territorial intrusion, and they'll come in and inspect, and oftentimes they'll call back.
So I'm going to start the first minute after these cars pass us.
Busy road here for just a blacktop, a country blacktop.
One thing we really notice is the amount of noise pollution that humans create, because it is, when you're really trying to focus on the natural world, it is really obvious.
Caparella and Harper say we're likely not only to hear owls tonight, but we might see one or two of them.
One night I was doing the screech owl call and one landed at my feet on the road, which really freaked both of us out.
Caparella takes out his iPod and broadcasts the screech owl call. What comes next is several minutes of listening.
There are two juvenile great horned owls that are giving begging calls.
I hear nothing of their calls. He says he can detect the sounds because he has been listening for owl calls all of his life. Sometimes Harper will improvise an owl call himself if he thinks he hears one in the distance. Owls are astonishing creatures. They have asymmetrical ears, so they can locate sounds in different dimensions. They do have good eyesight, but their eyes can't move in their sockets, which is why they move their heads around so much. They are outstanding hunters. Unfortunately, the great horned owl will feast on other owls, too. After about 2 hours of watching and waiting, as the wind picks up and the temperature drops, we finally actually see our first owl of the night, an adult barred owl. It swoops by a few feet overhead so quickly, like a piece of black drapery soaring on the wind, that I don't have time to record the sound. But this is how the barred owl normally sounds. It's about 11 p.m., and the three of us are tired and ready to go home. The total number of owls we've heard this evening, 10, encompassing three of the five species once common to the Midwest. Based on just that night's count, Caparella and Harper declare the state of at least those three kinds of owls to be in pretty good shape in McLean County.
One can't really go by just a single night, but this was a pretty good run. I would say tonight was definitely one of our better ones, a real fun one, especially since we had all three species.
Be assured, on the next clear night of a nearly full moon, these two intrepid bird watchers will be out once again, playing their owl calls and hoping for a close-up glimpse of these ghostly night prowlers. And they keep hoping they'll also hear the song of the elusive whippoorwill. I'm Judy Valente.